You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Wednesday, Humpity Hump Day, my first favorite day of the week, and we are currently shoveling from the third blizzard-geddon that we've experienced here in southern New Hampshire, and I have about 5 days before my beautiful toes get to run across western Florida beaches with my daughter, my dog, and visiting our new home. So really excited about that, really excited to actually wear some shorts and you know, get some color on my legs, because this is getting ridiculous. As you all know, my birthday is at the end of this week, and all I want for my birthday is for everyone to donate to the Celiac Sprue Association $1, $5, you know, $5 bazillion, because all of that money is going to go to, guess what, research and implementation of the very, very basic needs in regards to educating people on an international level of what celiac disease is and how important it is to really understand what it is and that it's not a fad, it's a real thing. And I get tons of emails from various countries all over the world with individuals who just don't have the support or the resources that they need. So please, 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 please do that for me on my birthday. That would be awesome. And this week we finally have power. Last week I did have an author on, and unfortunately the snowstorm in the south knocked out some of the servers, and we weren't able to have a show, and I have to tell you, that was a very, very painful experience for me. I've never not had a show on a Wednesday. It's like an addiction. I love being here, and I love talking to you, and I love your emails, and we are booked for the rest of the year with guests. So again, always looking for sponsors to sponsor the show so we can keep living and thriving going. I need to be able to pay Karen something more than peanut M&Ms and lots of pictures of the guy from The Walking Dead. But so here's a great opportunity for you to understand where one of the slots is that I'm trying to find sponsors for. It would be right here.
Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty McDonald. Inspiration on tap. A radio talk show that is down to earth, organic, and reflects years of experience and humility. Tune in and join Rusty McDonald as she explores topics related to mind, body, and soul. Visit her website for more information, www.rustymcdonald.com.
Perfect place for your little ditty, your ad, your information. Last week we had a Sunday, it was Cody Prevost, which again, I'm not a country fan, but that song was kicking. It was awesome. Cute little Canadian country singer, Cody Prevost. So that was really, really cool. And today I am thrilled to meet Dr. John McGale. He's an author, a hypnotist. Yes, 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 we've had hypnotists on before, but this one's different. Not only does he do the EFT, but he's written books, and he's a spiritual teacher. So I'm really looking forward to digging into his brain and into his life to see who he is, what he does, why he does what he does, and what he wants to inspire us with today, because that's what Living and Thriving is all about. Super excited about that. Feel free, as always, because I know most of you sneak me at work, call in, ask him questions. He's here. He's live. That's rare. 347-205-9443, and I'm in the chat room. Hello, all my chatty people that are listening, all the smiley faces that are going on, that's awesome. All right, so Dr. McGrale, how are you this afternoon?
I am doing absolutely great, Rusty, and I'm so sorry to hear that you all had another snowstorm. I'm from Connecticut originally, and my family's just, they're saying, please, can we come to L.A.?
Right. We're buried up here. I'm almost 6 feet tall. I'm 5'11", and the snow banks are taller than me.
Oh, my goodness. Whereabouts in New Hampshire are you exactly?
I'm outside of Portsmouth.
Oh, okay. Know it well. In fact, I have family in Portsmouth or Dover.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. So we're enjoying this. I can't lie, even virtually. We're hating it. It's cold, and it's that heavy snow that everybody, you know, hurts your back.
Oh, I remember it well, and I have a home in Connecticut, and I've been paying plow guy an awful lot of money this winter.
Oh, yeah, ours, he comes twice a storm, and we've had three storms this week, so
yes.
He's breaking it in.
Well, I'm glad you have power and that you're warm and toasty and that we got to do our show today, and good luck with Florida. It sounds terrific.
Oh, I love Venice. It's beautiful. It's a huge spiritual community and very relaxed and peaceful. And last time I was down there, I actually ran on the beach, and there was a rainbow and dolphins running next to me. It's just one of those places that I think is very magical. So thank you. I'm looking deeply forward to it.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic, which plays right into rule number one. Life is supposed to be fun.
Amen. So I've had the advantage to snoop and stalk you a little bit online and read a little bit about what a cool person you are. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do?
Well, thank you. I am a clinical hypnotherapist and spiritual teacher, as you mentioned, and I've been in private practice for about 13 years now. I have a PhD in clinical hypnotherapy, and that was sort of the springboard for me to launch a much sort of broader initiative. And while I use hypnosis a lot with my clients, I developed a process over the years that I call synthesis, because it really is about the integration of the conscious cognitive mind. We use a lot of, that's a very powerful part of our mind, but we integrate models and techniques from a conscious perspective, which Western thinkers are used to, with working with the subconscious part of the mind where our spiritual energy comes from, and that's the part of the mind that, quite frankly, regulates most of our behaviors, emotions, thoughts, and feelings. And so this process integrates and balances the two parts of the mind to create change, growth, transformation, whatever a person wants to create, both quickly and profoundly. And that's the basis of my book, The Synthesis Effect, and it's just really taking off. This whole concept of taking different methods, modes, modalities, techniques, and traditions and bringing them together to help people empower themselves is going to be the wave of the future. And it's really starting. Venice, Florida is a great example of that. And, it's really taken off there. So that's in a nutshell, that's the soundbite version of what I do. I help people empower their lives. If there's something not working, then we undo it and help you get where you want to be, in essence.
What did you want to be when you grow up? Grown it up as a kid?
Well, interestingly, originally I wanted to be a veterinarian. that was my initial ambition. And I went to college. I was fortunate enough to go to a great university, and they had a tremendous pre-vet program. But frankly, in the day, I was a little immature. I didn't quite appreciate what it took. And I date myself when I say this, but back in the 70s, there were very few veterinary colleges, many fewer than there are today. So it was a much tougher career path. And quite frankly, I just didn't study hard enough to get the grades I needed to get in. So that was sort of my first big disappointment. And in retrospect, a great learning tool. But that was my original aspiration, is to be a vet.
Very cool. So you go from a vet, and then you realize that's actually probably the hardest PhD to obtain, I would think.
Well, it's one of, not so much today as it was yesterday, but it's still a very, very difficult program. It's very akin to medical school. And, as I like to say, and I share in my book, I, in the early days of my adulthood, was not a very happy camper for a lot of reasons. But I kind of, floundered around for a while until I entered the United States Coast Guard, and that's, it was through the Coast Guard that I actually, I would say, grew up and started getting a clue. But it still took many, many years. I know there are folks out there listening that says, my life's not working and hasn't been working. I've got all this stuff that I'm carrying from my childhood, mom and dad, and, I get that. I totally get that. And one of the things that I love to say, not just to my private clients, but also when I do workshops and seminars or speaking engagements, is, hey, I know where you're coming from. I'm not some guru. I'm just a normal guy like you. I just happened to learn a few things that have really helped me create a life that is very enjoyable, fun, and we can talk about what that means. And, you know, I'd like to pass that along to you. And that's what this is really about. I don't like to do this from a preachy, I'm a master and you're not, which is what I think a lot of the self-help books and practices do. And I think that turns people off, you know, because they don't think that they can do it. And with the synthesis process, you can do it. Everybody has the ability to make those changes. And this is just a very simple, powerful way to do it quickly. So I have my days, and I remember them well, where I was not a very happy camper. I was insecure. I was an addicted smoker. I was very obsessive and very tight and tense, and everything had to be perfect, or I was just out of balance. And, oh, my God, that's exhausting.
Just having to relive it for that moment and talk
well,
to
just
you
thinking
about.
Oh, just thinking about the yeah. energy that I used to carry with me. And, you know, and then I discovered or finally through a set of circumstances embraced and discovered the concept of my spirituality, and that's really where things started to take off. And, of course, it led to what I do today through a sort of circuitous route, but still it did. And, you know, today I know that my purpose is to help other people do the same thing because, you know, as I said, rule number one in my method is life is supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be a drudge. It's not supposed to be painful. You're supposed to feel joy and create abundance and have great relationships. And we all have the ability to do that. So if I can help people do that, then I feel like I'm fulfilling my purpose.
Now, not being a happy person and having this kind of tense, in my book, I call it the emotional quagmire, this place mm-hmm. where all stuff is that we don't want to deal with, but we are so in love with it that we keep holding on to those stories and those monsters and the sadness. What was really that cosmic 2x4 that smacked you in the head to get you kind of motivated to moving forward?
Well, I think it was a combination of things, and I love that term, the emotional quagmire, and we, you know, it's really an apt term because we do hang on to our stuff. And, you know, I'll get back to my story in a second, but one of the things that's really important for people to realize is that one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons we tend to hang on to stuff, even when it's painful, is that the human mind has evolved in such a way that we are literally hardwired to resist change as a species. Even when the change is good, and we know it's going to be good, and we know it's going to make us feel better, and we're going to have a happier life, etc., it's very, very difficult to overcome that internal, natural, biological, physiological, evolutionary resistance to change. So, you know, one of the first things I say is that, you know, you're probably, most of us probably are going to need a little bit of assistance to create the change because you've got to get through that resistance. And if you don't, you're just going to hang on to the stuff and stay in the quagmire. I love that term. But for me, it was you know, sort of a life sort of deals us our cards. But it was a combination of a natural disaster, the end of my first marriage, and you know, literally being on my own. I was in a very, I don't want to say totally painful marriage, but two nice people who just didn't belong together. And, you know, we kept it going for way longer than it should have been. And when that ended, I was sort of given a reprieve, I guess you might say. But I started feeling this lightness. That's the only way I can describe it. I started feeling lighter, like I don't have to do this anymore. I can be who and what I want to be. And that's when I started really working on that concept of who and what am I really? And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it was, and I say this to my clients all the time, we are all born with enormous self-esteem. When we're very little, we know we're perfect little beings. There is no such thing as failure. We can accomplish anything we want to. We don't care what anybody thinks of us. All of that stuff is learned. And I think part of the process is I started rediscovering my self-esteem, and I started realizing, this took probably about 6 or 8 months of pretty hard work and concentration, but I got to a point where I can remember the day. I said, I like who I am. I like what I'm about. I like my values. I like the way I'm living my life. I don't care what other people want or expect of me. And if they don't like it, tough. And that was the sort of when the dam broke, and everything has flowed from it since. And it was a great moment. It really was. There's nothing like that. And I love to help people have that moment. And you can see the light go off. It's terrific. And I'm sure you know what that's about.
Yeah, I actually, it was funny. I had a TV interview a couple of weeks ago with my friend who's a nutritionist, and she goes, "So, Rusty, what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I make people cry." That's what I do. I make people cry. And not, you know, and I'm a funny person, so that's why I do it this way. But in all reality, that's what people pay me to do, is to really make them cry, to have that cathartic aha moment of, oh, my God, I just got it. I finally
right.
got it.
Right.
And it's a beautiful, when I'm motivationally speaking and I'm speaking in front of crowds and I hit a tender point with somebody, because you always hit a tender point with somebody.
Sure.
And you see them crying in the audience, it makes me cry, which is cathartic, and I love it. So it's not a bad thing. But it is kind of funny that's what we spend our life doing, is making people cry. And in order for them to break out of that quagmire, they need to cry, because it does hurt. It's like being reborn again, emotionally, mentally, right?
It is. And, you know, the tears are good things. And as I tell my clients, who sometimes feel a little embarrassed when they cry, it usually doesn't take very long for us to get to the point and to push mm-hmm. the button and to, you know, it's kind of like lancing a boil. It's a little bit of an ugly metaphor, but it really works. You know, there's this pressure and it
Where
hurts.
Does that even come from?
Well,
out of all the metaphors.
When we have these things, and it's just, you know, the pressure mounts and mounts and mounts and mounts and
yeah,
mounts, and
yeah.
finally, boom, you pop it, and all the pressure is released, and all the infectious stuff flows out of you, and you begin to heal. I mean, that's really what it is. And, of course, with tears, that's part of that catharsis, as you say. And, you know, crying, if we weren't supposed to cry, we wouldn't have tear ducts. But we in Western culture have become so uptight about allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, allowing ourselves to feel emotion, you know, and if we have an issue, an emotional problem, we're supposed to just suck it up and deal with it. And yet, if you have a toothache, you go to the dentist. If you need food, most people go to the store. If your car breaks down, you take it to your mechanic. But if you have an issue inside of yourself, God forbid you go get help. Oh, no, you're supposed to suck it up, you know, and being a native New Englander, as I'm sure you know, I think New England and the Northeast is sort of coming to terms with that, but I remember when I was growing up, the thought of seeing a therapist or a counselor or a life coach was just ridiculous, you know.
I grew up in the South in the Bible Belt.
No, same thing. Maybe worse.
It was a lot worse because, you know, the only cure for being a feisty, precarious, redheaded child was a good whipping and a timeout. You know, that I grew up in the 80s where it was no pain, no gain on any level.
Right. And having lived in that part of the country a good part of my military career, I certainly remember that mentality. And I think, you know, I think it's indicative of Western culture in general. Modern technology-driven society is very imbalanced. We have lost our sense of spirit. And I'm not in any way saying spirit and religion are equal, so just so we can make that differentiation. But our spiritual energy, as you so well know, is our essence. It's the most powerful part of us as beings. And so if you don't nurture it and forget about it and sort of let it get squashed, and we get so hung up with the negativity and what I call the dark side of the contrast equation, lack, I don't have enough, I'm not this, I'm not that, and you don't have that spiritual energy to fall back on, you get really, really not just imbalance, but I think that's a big source of the chronic stress and the anxiety, which I'm seeing so much of these days in my practice. Obesity, addictions, and anger. We are so angry as a society. Where does that come from? It comes from the fact that we have just been on the wrong side of that equation for so very long. So I think you're absolutely right. This whole concept of no pain, no gain is, to use two letters that everybody will understand, it's BS. When you get the help and you let it go and you start rediscovering what you knew when you were very little, that self-esteem, unconditional love, and nurturing your spiritual energy, well, then a whole new reality starts to take place. And that's what synthesis and what I do and what you do is all about. So, yeah, I don't like to say we make people cry. We help them allow themselves to let that go?
Well, I don't think, and I honestly, just from my coaching technique, I don't think that I am pushing hard enough or challenging them enough in a way that's, you know, appropriate, of course, if they don't have that cathartic moment. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a physical tear cry. For the most part, that's what happens. But
right.
It's that they really, really get it moment. So let's step back and talk about, you know, something that you've brought up that I think is very, very important, especially today in society. I think that there's this beautiful dichotomy that's going on. We're able to educate and have freer thought than we were 20 years ago. And, you know, internet is a huge resource for people and communities. And we're able to express ourselves in more open and free ways than we were, especially when I was growing up as a child. We have come to this, I don't know how to explain it. It's like two walls hitting each other. You know, there is the old school rule of thumb of isolating yourself, not opening up, not being vulnerable. And we fear these feeds, that we feed these fears, I'm going backwards, aren't I, from childhood on. You know, don't trust anybody too much, don't do this, don't do that. If you don't work hard enough, you're never going to be, all these fear-based things that we teach. Now we're coming into this place where there's part of the body, I think part of the soul, part of the spirit, willingness, that wants to forego all of that stuff. But in that dichotomy, in that combative state that I think people are in right now, this pull, I think that's where the addictions are really coming from. Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense, because our innate intuitive state of mind knows that this is not the way it's supposed to be. And if we look at the more, let's say, underdeveloped cultures, the native indigenous cultures of the world, there are not an awful lot left. But if you look at the way the ancient cultures and the indigenous and the native cultures, like the Native Americans or the Australian Aborigines or any of the tribal cultures lived, they didn't live the way we do. They lived in balance with themselves. They were all about living in balance with the earth. And, of course, they were humans, so they did human things. They had egos, and they fought one another and whatnot. But that pain, that complete dichotomy, was not there, because they embraced and lived with their spiritual energy. And in the, you know, with the Great Enlightenment about 500 or 600 years ago, modern society, Western culture, separated science from religion, which had to happen. It was a very good thing, because the old theocratic ways of life, you know, God controls everything, and you know that didn't work. But we forgot that religion and science are different things. So if we just look at the native cultures, and it's really interesting, because I did some research when I was doing my doctoral work on the native indigenous cultures, because this is how one of the ways I started. I really started studying Native American philosophy, and that's how I kind of really came into my spirituality, was mostly through those teachings. But if you look at the native cultures of the world, the Aboriginal cultures, there is no evidence of these kinds of afflictions we see today, like bipolar and chronic depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, Crohn's disease, IBS, and ulcerative colitis, and all these weird stress-related lupus, all these weird stress-related conditions that Western medicine doesn't treat very well for a reason, because there's a huge emotional, spiritual component to them. But there's no evidence of those afflictions in these societies until they're exposed to Western thinking and Western culture, and then it runs rampant. So that I found that just fascinating. So I totally agree with your point that it is because of this conflict, because inside, intuitively, we know this is not the way it's supposed to be. We're not born that way, but we get that grace, that unconditional love, our intuitive, complete self-esteem. It's just sort of beaten out of us as we're growing up. And I don't think the parents don't do it on purpose. we all mean well as parents. We do the best we can. But every time you say, you know, why can't you be more like so-and-so? Or what's the matter with dit-dit-dit-dit? And we hear this over and over and over again. It gets ingrained into our subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind works very much like a computer. Once it's programmed, it'll play those programs over and over and over and over again. And if you want to change the program, you got to take the bad software out and put new software in. And in essence, that's kind of what I do. Rusty, are you there?
Uh-oh. I am. I muted the phone. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. wanted to make sure we didn't lose our connection.
Yep, nope. What I was saying was you and I could probably sit down and speak for 800 or 900 hours. and so I'm really enjoying today's show. But we're kind of at that halfway mark. And at the halfway mark, this is where you get to shamelessly plug you, your website, your phone number, however you want people to reach you. There's over 200,000 people internationally that listen to this show. Thank you all. Thank you, God. And this is your opportunity to advertise yourself.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so very much. I'm delighted and honored. Well, people can reach me through either of my websites, www.drjohnmcgrail, that's all one word, drjohnmcgrail.com, and find out more about my synthesis process. And, of course, my book, The Synthesis Effect, is available. It's had its run in stores, the first run, but it's available on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. It was just published in mainland China and Malaysia, and that really talks about and teaches my process, my synthesis process, so you can actually learn how to do it while you're reading this book, and I share the stories of real people like you and me that have gone through it and what they conquered and overcame. And then my other website, which is more hypnotherapy focused, is www.hypnotherapylosangeles, all one word, all spelled out, .com. And I can be reached via my websites or through email, drjohnmcgrail@gmail.com. And I do attempt to respond to requests and questions personally as much as I can. And sometimes it gets overwhelming and I have to, you know, if I get a whole bunch of questions on one theme, I'll include them in a blog article. But if people reach out, I do try to respond to them personally and give them guidance and in any way I can be of assistance on their path. And I have clients all over the world because a lot of what I do can be done remotely. You don't have to be in the presence of someone. And that's one of the great things about technology. I've got clients as far away as Australia and Singapore. So don't let distance be a challenge if for some reason you think that I might be able to be of assistance. And I thank you for that opportunity. That's fantastic. Wow. I thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you for being on the show because you've got a lot to offer. And I've had the topic hypnotists on before with their flavors, but yours is just a little different. So I'm thrilled to have you here. I think this is great.
Well, thank you so much.
Take a quick commercial break. So for those of you out there who want to continue to have Living and Thriving exist, I am booked for the entire year, twice a week, but we have plenty of guests could do 5 days a week. I just need sponsors because I've got to pay Karen for all her hard work. This is a place where you can have your show or your ad or your plug posted.
Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty McDonald. Inspiration on tap. A radio talk show that is down to earth, organic, and reflects years of experience and humility. Tune in and join Rusty McDonald as she explores topics related to mind, body, and soul. Visit her website for more information, www.rustymcdonald.com.
And we're back, and I have to say that after this show, I will be a guest on a show called This Needs to Be Said, Talk Radio, also located here on Blog Talk. So if you still want to listen to my voice for another couple of hours, follow along. Definitely get onto my newsletter so you can keep up with all of those TV shows and radio shows I'll be on. And just posted my first vlog in regards to what is a Rusty, you all ask. I've not been able to answer that. But it was fun to make, so check out my mug on Vimeo and on YouTube. And I am here with Dr. McGrail, who is this rockin' science of personal empowerment guy. He does these wonderful things for people in regards to helping them with their anxiety and depressions and obesity. And, you know, he wrote a book called The Synthesis Effect, and I want you guys to go and check it out. And I am actually on Amazon right now, hence the distraction in my voice, to see if I can pick up a copy. So, Dr. McGrail.
Yes.
When you were writing your book, well, first off, how did the book even come out? What was the motivation moment there?
It came from two places. I took it upon myself to learn more about human empowerment, and I had this real interest in integrating spirituality with modern Western science. And that was sort of the essence of my doctoral work. And the short of it was, you know, when you do a PhD, you have to write a dissertation, which was an interesting exercise, to say the very least. But it all sort of came together, as these things tend to do. You know, I don't believe in coincidences, but I was trying to figure out when I was going to do this, you know, a dissertation is supposed to be original research, and I'm thinking, now what do I possibly have to contribute to the field of human behavior? Human beings have been behaving this way for a million years, or however long we've been modern humans. What can I, what can I add? And so I started thinking about that, and then I realized that as I had started integrating spiritual practices with hypnotherapy and other what we would call more scientific methodologies, I had seen a huge increase in both the efficiency and quickness with which my clients were getting better and feeling better and empowering their lives, regardless of what they came in for, because I deal with pretty much everything you can imagine that's not mental illness. And mm-hmm. So I said, ooh, what if I just, you know, what I'm going to take a look at this. So that was the basis of my dissertation. I analyzed 1,000 cases to figure out which people had done well, which people had done not so well, and which people hadn't done well at all, because unfortunately it's not perfect. And that was the essence of this thing called synthesis. And mm-hmm. I continued honing it and refining it. And what happened was I had so many clients say, you know, John, you've got to write a book about this stuff. I cannot believe that in a matter of a couple or 3 weeks, I'm like a different person. And I heard that so much that I finally said, well, maybe I ought to. And I'd written many articles and, you know, pretty good at that. And I thought, can I really write a book? Can I really do it? So, you know, at one point I had so many people say, you got to write a book about this stuff. I just decided to sit down and do it. And that's how the book came to be. And what I chose to do was to make it, I didn't want it to be preachy, as I mentioned before, because I just don't think that works. I think people get turned off by that. So it is very casually written. It's written in a very conversational sort of casual tone, which is how I do what I do, whether mm-hmm. I'm speaking or doing a workshop or seminar or working with a client. It's very conversational. I said, I'm going to add a lot of stories because people want to see that real people can do this. So there are lots of stories of real people, everyday people, that have transcended, you know, something as innocuous as nail biting to major anxiety and relationship issues, and their stories are in there. And then the third part was the way it was organized. First, we create an understanding, because so many people, and I'm sure you get this too, they don't know how they got this way. They don't feel good. Their life's not working. They feel broken. And when I ask them, well, how long has this been going on? As long as I can remember. Well, what started it? I don't know. This is the way I am. And so I said, okay, well, let me show people how and why we get the way we are, how and why we get into this fix, and why it's so hard to get out of it because of this natural resistance that we call homeostasis, this natural resistance to change. So that's where we start. And then we say, okay, here's a bunch of tools that you can use to overcome the resistance, and here's a method that you can use to use these tools to make it happen quickly. And that's sort of how I organized it. And while we're doing all of this, you actually start the work, and right in the introduction is the first exercise. So you're reading, learning, understanding, sharing stories, and doing all at the same time, and that's how I put it together. And so far, the reviews have, you know, when you write a book, as you know, you have intentions and hopes and expectations, but the proof is in the pudding, and that's the people who read it. And I've been blessed that I seem to have gotten it for right for a lot of folks. The reviews on Amazon have been amazing, and I get emails and every day from folks that say, you know, I've been reading self-help books all my life. I never got it till now. Thank you. And that is, it sounds immodest, and I don't mean to, but it's just so gratifying to know that I got it right. And I'm getting ready to start a new book, and I'm quite frankly, I'm terrified. Can I do it again?
Right. What is, so I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you a minute because I'm going to give out a phone number again, but
sure.
Think about an exercise that you and I can do quickly to give an example to the audience as to some of the, an exercise in the book. Now, he's thinking, you can hear it in the background, the Jeopardy theme song. Call in. Have a conversation with us. Dr. McGrail is here. He's live, and that's rare. 347-205-9443. Give us a call and or send your question via chat or on Facebook, facebook.com/celiacroads. I'm here. All right, Dr. McGrail, let's play. Give us an example.
Well, this actually takes longer in real life than it's going to on the radio, but we're going to compress it for the sake of time and the sake of media, because a lot of what this this whole process is about being quiet and being mindful. And since we're on the air, dead air is not particularly entertaining.
No,
so I will guide you through this exercise so that there is something going on and people can listen. And I invite the listeners out there to do this as well. And again, normally it would take a little bit longer than we're going to do. But I think if we use our imaginations, which is the language of the subconscious mind, and if everybody just allows themselves to have this experience, you'll get a sense of it. So what I'm going to ask you and everyone out there to do is close your eyes.
And please, if you're driving, don't close your eyes.
No,
just
if you're driving, don't close your eyes. As long as if you're in a safe, comfortable place where nothing terrible is going to happen, close your eyes. If you're driving, keep your eyes open and do this later.
Yes. And all my so, friends tonight.
So close your eyes and just take a nice, slow, deep breath. Breathe all the way in, down into your belly. I mean, really take your time with it so you feel the air coming into your body and just really just notice it. And then when you reach the top of the breath, gently release it all the way out and really take your time with the breath. Now, normally I would have you do 21 of these slow, deep breaths, but we're going to just shorten this process a little bit. And you can let your breathing return to normal. And now focus on relaxing and releasing all the tension around your eyes completely. I mean, let them relax more than they've ever relaxed before so that you feel your eyelids get heavy and very languid, because the eyes are the smallest controllable muscles we have in the body. So a great place to start a total relaxation is in the eyes. And you may find, to your delight and amusement, that in a very short period of time, if you really focus on letting them go, they can become so relaxed that they won't open unless you release the relaxation. But let's not do that. Hang on to it for a moment. And once you feel that your eyes are so relaxed, they won't open. In fact, you can find that the harder you try to open them, the more relaxed they become, which is kind of a cool feeling. Then let your jaw do the same thing. Just let it release. We hold enormous amounts of stress and tension in the jaw, physical, emotional, and spiritual tension. Just let it go. Let your lower jaw just plop open if it wants to. Let the bones and muscles feel like they're melting. And as you do that, as you feel that ease, you'll probably feel a wave of ease through the neck and shoulders and arms, and you can just kind of let everything get loose and limp. And you might even just forget your body's there for a few moments. And then, what I'd like you to do is think of something that you would like to change. It can be something really small just to play with. Maybe you have a little habit that's not so healthy or something that you'd rather not do, or you'd rather have better relationships, or maybe you want a raise. It doesn't really matter. Whatever it is you would like to see in your life that isn't there right now. And what I'd like you to do is just create an image. Imagine it. You can see yourself on a screen. You can see yourself standing on a stage, whatever it is. But see yourself in your mind. Imagine, visualize, or picture it, whatever works for you, having made that change. So there you are up there, and it's done. You've come through the other side. You don't bite your nails anymore. You've quit smoking. You lost that 10 pounds. You got the raise or the new job you wanted, or you found the love of your life, and there you are, and you're just up there. Look at that, you, and stay with it. stay with it until you say, oh, man, yeah, that is so me, and it feels so good. Oh. And when you feel that energy flowing through your body and you feel that delight, that delicious excitement, you can open your eyes. That is a very...
Just kidding.
Okay. A very, very simple and quick example of the synthesis process. And what we have just done through that visualization and through that exercise is balanced and integrated physical, emotional, and spiritual energy very quickly and very profoundly. But when you feel that feeling of delight, you are creating an energetic vibration. And the energy that you're vibrating with that you project, not to sound woo-woo, but this is science now, it's been proven, the energy that you project out into the world is going to have a huge effect on what you attract back. And so that's a very tiny little piece of the synthesis process. When you put it all together, you start creating this enormous energy, and pretty soon things start flowing to you. I hope it worked for everybody. It's kind of hard to do in 2 minutes because normally that would take about 10 or 15 minutes, that exercise. So if folks want to try it, 21 breaths and then do that visualization, you'll find it's much more profound.
So when you have a client or you have a session, how long is it normally? Is it an hour, 2 hours?
Well, in my clinical practice, a normal session is about an hour, sometimes a little bit longer. I usually start with an initial two-hour session because, you know, we have to get to know one another and I have to get a real understanding of what's going on and then sort of explain how the process is going to work and get my client feeling really comfortable with how and what we're going to do. And then, of course, we start to work. But then after that, normally we meet in the clinical world an hour at a time, give or take. Sometimes it goes a little over. And, you know, usually once a week to start with. And most clients, believe it or not, in 2 to 5 weeks are done most time. And, of course, there's no absolute way you can predict. With workshops and seminars, usually they're either half day or full day, depending on the subject and what we're doing. But there's a workshop that I'm developing called A Day of Synthesis, where I'm going to take my audience through the whole process and really, really get that well-grounded by the end of the day. That'll probably be an all-day workshop. So, you know, it depends. And then speaking engagements, as you know, are whatever they are. Sometimes they're 30 minutes or an hour. And again, depends on the subject and what people want to cover. But a normal session is about an hour, and that usually is more than enough time to get done what we need to get done. And it's a very progressive process, you know, at least the way I do it. I don't like going over old stuff. So as I say to all my new clients, I will get you where you want to be as quickly as your mind will allow it to occur. So if we can do it in 2 weeks, great. Sometimes we can. If it takes a little longer, fine. The faster you can do it, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I don't want people with me any longer than they need to be. So I don't know if that's a good answer because there's no real solid answer. Sometimes it just takes a little bit longer, and sometimes people get it right away.
And I think that's also based on the intention of the individual.
Yes.
I say all the time and almost every show, you have to want it to the point where it's dripping off your lips. You know,
that is a great way to express it. And if folks, and I may steal that, Rusty. I really like that. But what I normally tell a new client before they come in, because I always make sure that there's a model that I use in the conscious part of the synthesis process called the formula or recipe for creating change. And it defines the conscious energies that we have to bring to the party. And first and foremost, you have to want it. It's got to be for you. It can't be because someone wants you to do it or someone thinks you'd be better off by doing it. It's got to be for you. And the second thing is commitment. And that's where you have to want it so bad it's coming off your lips. I just say you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get it done. But I like your description better. I may have to steal that one. And then the third energy in that is love, honor, and respect for yourself. And almost every single person I work with, when I say, how are you doing in that regard, they'll say, not so good. And again, it's just the way we're taught. We are taught to be hard on ourselves. We are taught no pain, no gain. We are taught that we're not enough, and we focus on that. So we got to really start boosting that up because, as you know, when we're very little, we are completely in love with ourselves, as we ought to be. Because until you can love yourself unconditionally, you're not going to get it from anybody else, and you're never going to have those relationships. So we got to boost that up right away. And then we combine intention and expectation in that creates a marvelous, powerful energy of change, which through the tools we then use to help the unconscious, subconscious mind kind of change its programming, if you will. I hate to use that term because it sounds so computer-like, but really that's how our mind works.
Well, and I think there's also, to reiterate and use a different way to get into the same house. I mean, this house has so many doors, it's amazing, but it's the same house. So some spiritual leaders, gurus, motivational speakers, whatever you want to call us, I'm just Rusty, but they refer to holding your intention for 17 seconds in order to what you call deprogramming or to change your thinking. And it sounds very much like it's the same house, you know, just a different way of skinning a cat, so to speak.
Well, you know, that's really a good point. And yes, one of the things that I freely admit, and I'm just John, too, you know, I don't want to, but one of the things I say right up front, and I hope this doesn't turn people off from checking out the book, because there's nothing new. We have been doing this, and people have been behaving this way for thousands and thousands of years. So truthfully, there is really nothing new out there. All the latest cutting-edge science is just rediscovering what the ancient cultures intuitively knew, and now we're just doing it our way. But there is nothing new. The thing that's different, and this is important, is how it's presented. And I think the perspective is what differentiates things. And what one person says in a slightly different way, maybe just what you needed, it may give you that aha moment, but it's not different. So what's really important is for folks to understand a couple of things. One, every single human being on the planet has the ability within them to create the life they want to. And that's truth. You have the resources. You have the ability. You're probably going to need a little help to get there, but you do have what it takes. So if you don't think you do, you're wrong. You do. Two, it's probably going to take a little assistance just because of the way the mind works, because we're resistant to change naturally. And three, you just have to find the way that works for you. And there's no silver bullet. And I freely admit that. And I'm not saying my way is the way. It's a way that works for lots and lots of people, and I'm gratified by that. But there's nothing new out there. You're right. It's just a different way of saying the same thing. But everybody responds and perceives differently. So you just got to find the way that works for you, and you're on your way.
Well, and I love the concept that, you know, this house is the same house. There's just a bazillion doors. And
exactly.
If you like the color blue and you're attracted to the blue door, go for it.
Right.
Go through the blue door, you know. But we're all doing the same thing. We're all learning the same thing. We're just at different places in that learning curve, I think. So.
Right. And we all deserve to have what we want. No one's any more entitled than anybody else, but everybody deserves to have a fulfilling, joyful, happy life.
Well, and what makes what you and I do fun, I think, because the number one rule of waking up in the morning is to wake up with a big smile, is the fact that we get to acknowledge the limiting beliefs for what they are, and we get to share that and help other people acknowledge the limiting beliefs for what they are and pull them away from those beliefs and challenge the way they're thinking. I go through stuff just like everybody else. I'm human and I'm pink on the inside just like everybody else.
Yep.
And there are days where I have to put myself to task because I'm human and my job in being human is to experience and feel what life is. And you have a great opportunity for people to learn a new way of walking into that house. And I think it's cool. So high five to you.
Well,
and
thank you so much.
You scared me on the whole dissertation thing, by the way.
I'm sorry?
I said you scared me on the whole dissertation thing, by the way. Now I'm scared.
Oh, no. You know, it's like anything else. Once you jump in. It's just, it seemed at the time like something.
Did you make it seem daunting?
It was daunting until I started. And then once I started, you know, like everything else, if you just allow yourself to go in and it's something that you truly believe in and you're passionate about, then it just flows. And that doesn't mean there weren't challenging moments, both in both writing the dissertation and then writing the book. I had a period of a couple of months where I just didn't know which way to take it, and I asked a whole bunch of people, and everybody had different opinions, and I finally said, I'm just going to do it my way. I don't care. And that's what it ended up being. And then, you know, my agent said, you did it exactly the way you should have said it, done it. So, yeah. And you know, what you said, what we do is fun. I have not worked in 13 years. Since I went back to school, and I was older when I went back to school to get certified in hypnotherapy, since that day, I have not worked. I love coming to the office every day. I love doing workshops. I love doing shows like yours, and you're so kind and generous to have me on. I really, really, this lights me up. And if you can find that and do something you love, whatever it is, then you're on your way to having the life you want and deserve. And I have to say it again because I get so many clients over and over, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I deserve to be fill in the blanks. And that is not true. It's just something we learn. But what is learned can be unlearned, and then we can reteach our powerful, formidable minds the new patterns that we would rather have. And it doesn't have to take a long time. That's really, really key. You don't have to be in therapy for years and years and years and years and years, and even months and months and months. You really don't.
No, it just, you have to want it so bad that it's dripping off your lips, as we can hear it dripping off yours right now. You get that fire in your belly. I feel it all the way over here.
Oh, thank you very much.
My driveway. All right, Dr. John McGrail, you are a fabulous person, and this is where you get to plug yourself shamelessly one more time, and then I have a very tough question, so go for it.
Well, once again, thank you so very, very much for both the opportunity to be here for this hour and to give everybody, here's the shameless plug, drjohnmcgrail.com. is my website, www.drjohnmcgrail.com, drjohnmcgrail.com, and you can learn all about the synthesis process and what I do and what it's like to work for me, with me. If you're more interested in hypnotherapy, which is a big part of what I do, but only part, my other website is Hypnotherapy Los Angeles, all one word, all spelled out, .com. I can be reached at drjohnmcgrail@gmail.com. Feel free to email me, or if you wish to call, my phone numbers are posted on the sites, and I do return calls, every single one, regardless, because that's what I do, and I try to respond to as many emails as I can. I've got a blog, and I do vlogs, and I do all kinds of other stuff, so I'm reachable, and I thank you for the opportunity to put that out there. And I do hope, folks, we'll try and check out The Synthesis Effect, my book, Your Direct Path to Personal Power and Transformation. It's available on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. If nothing else, just look up The Synthesis Effect, synthesis being just what it sounds like, S-Y-N-T-H-E-S-I-S, effect. Look at the reviews, and maybe you want to check it out. I certainly hope so, and I thank you for that opportunity. Now, what's the question? Go ahead.
You ready? Well, you're on fire now, so this is going to be a great answer. I can feel it. What is the one thing that you want over 200,000 people all across the world to take away from today's show?
The one thing is this. If your life isn't working the way you want it to, you can change it. Doable, and it doesn't have to be hard. And there are people and resources out there to help you tap into your ability to create whatever change you want. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, it's doable. I don't care what's going on. It can be different. Rule number one, life is supposed to be fun. And that means when you get up in the morning, like you said, you have a smile on your face, you're looking forward to the day, you like the people in your life, you like what you're doing for a living, hopefully you love what you're doing for a living, and you're creating and enjoying and growing and excited about not just today but tomorrow. And, you know, it's never perfect, but it can be almost perfect. You can live virtually free of suffering. You can do that. I call it practical enlightenment. It's doable. So please, reach out. Find the help. Whether it's my book that gets you started or not, I have lots of resources at the end of the book for folks that want to learn more about this stuff or want to know how to find a professional to help them. There's a guide in the end in one of my appendices to help you choose a professional that can give you the assistance you need. But it is doable. It is doable. It is doable. So do it. Let it be dripping off your
lips. Get her done.
Get her done.
All right. That's right. So, all right. Now, you're a motivational speaker, and you do events and things like that. Plug yourself. I mean, you got 2 minutes before I have to go on to
other
things.
Okay,
well,
I appreciate that. Right now for 2014, there are no speaking engagements or workshops on the calendar because I'm in the process of discussing the Dr. John TV show with a production company out here in L.A., and right now, that's taken up all my free time. So I'm doing appearances on shows like yours and whatnot. And of course, my clinical practice goes on every day. But until that is settled and we figure out when and how we're going to shoot the pilot, et cetera, and there's just so much that goes into that. Right now, I'm not going to be on the road. I don't know when I will be. But thank you for that opportunity. Once that happens, the calendars are posted on my websites.
All right, so you're going to have your own TV show. Did I hear that correctly? I didn't use Q-tips this morning.
That is the current rumor.
Shut the front door. Good for you. That's going to be exciting. You're going to have to
Well,
come back
I hope
on
so.
And tell us all about it.
I'm very, very excited. I think we can reach millions of people, and I've been approached by a production company out here to do the Dr. John show, kind of like the Dr. Oz show, except for heads and life empowerment. we're in preliminary discussions, but it's looking pretty good. And I'll ask you to keep your fingers crossed because this is a very, very capricious business, television and radio, and you never know. But it's very exciting, and I'm certainly intending it. So I believe you create your own reality. So yeah, look for it.
Amen. Well, congratulations, and keep me posted because that's really exciting stuff. And I'm not a cable TV person, but make sure that it's available on YouTube or places like that for those of us who don't.
Well, there's a chance it'll be a network show and not a cable show. So who knows? But
all right,
thank you so
posted.
Very much.
That's very exciting. Well, I am so grateful that you took an hour of your day to hang out with us and talk about you and your spirit and the guidance and motivation that you're offering people all over the world. So many blessings to you, Dr. McGill, and keep us posted on the new book, too. I'd love to have you back on, maybe a longer show.
Well, Rusty, it is my great pleasure and honor. You're so kind and generous, and I would love to come back anytime. And we just scratched the surface today, but it was delightful, and I appreciate that. So anytime you call or write me, and I'm there.
All right, my dear. I'm gonna hold you to it.
Okay, and enjoy the Florida sunshine.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay.
So that was Dr. John McGrail. The Synthesis Effect, Your Direct Path to Personal Power and Transformation. What a cool guy, and I'm so praying that he gets his TV show because he's got a great demeanor and a great way of presenting what we all need. We need kind of an extra kick in the butt. I give kicks in the butt, and he gets you to relax. We all do the same thing, though. It's really interesting to what we're all attracted to. So, Sunday. So excited about Sunday night. I have Elliot Katz on, and I'm going to be, we're kind of twisting and jiving a little bit. Wednesdays seem to be more of the mind, and Sundays seem to be more of the soul. And Elliot Katz is author of Being a Strong Man, a Woman Wants. He is a international motivational speaker. He's really phenomenal. I'm halfway through his book. And I look forward to really understanding his perspective of what being a man is. So it's going to definitely be this interesting conversation of gender perception, as well as, really understanding the clues to those sorts of things. And also, I am going to be on at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. This has to be said here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to be talking about my life and my aches and my pains and all the skeletons in my closet because, as you know, I'm on fifth edit. Yay! Should be published someday soon. Or I'm going to be completely gray. Who knows? As always, know that I love you. You are beautiful. I'm so glad that we get to do this together, walk this path, meet amazing people, cheer each other on, love each other, and I'll talk to you on Sunday night. Until then, live and thrive.